Today's shir is Masechta Yevamos Daf Samach Daled. We will begin on Daf Samach Gimel Amud Beis, the last line. Tana Rabbanim. The pasuk says, "Uvenucha Yomer Shuvah Hashem Rivvos Alfa Yisrael." Malama teaches us the Gemara. Shena Shchina Shoyra Apokas Mishnei Alofim Vishnei Rivavos Miyisrael. The minimum amount of people we need to have the Shchina is 22,000 Jews. And as the Mefarshim explained, what's the significance of 22,000 Jews? One pshat is because the number 22 corresponds to the same number of letters that there are in the Aleph Beis. So 22 is a very important number representing Torah, which we don't have to explain how important Torah is. Another pshat is that there were 22,000 Levim. And since we know that the Levim are the Shevet that caused the Shechinah to be in Klal Yisrael, they didn't participate in the Maisa Egel. So that's the significance of the number 22,000. In fact, the Chassam Sofer says that the word Yisrael stands for Yesh Shnei Revolvus Alpayim Levim. The 22,000 Levim. The Mefarshim ask, here the Gemara says that we have to have a minimum of 22,000 Jews to have the Shekhinah. On the other hand, we know that the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, that Shnaim Shiyoshim V'Oiskim B'Tayra, if two people are sitting and learning Tayra, Shechina Shruya B'Neim. So what does the Gemara say? You need 22,000. There it says two Jews are enough. And as I saw other Mefarshim ask, Satmar Rabbi Yisrael asked this question, Moshe Rabbeinu was only one Jew. And the Shechina was on Moshe Rabbeinu, as we just learned the Sugya the other day. So regarding great people like Moshe Rabbeinu or other leaders, he answers, that's Shokul Moshe, the Gemara says, Kenega Kol Yisrael. So Moshe is equal to the rest of Kol Yisrael. But how do we reconcile the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos with our Gemara? So Mefarshim say there are different levels of Ashras Shechina. To obtain a high level of Ashras Shechina, we need to have 22,000 Jews. Says the Gemara, Hareshal Yisrael Shnei Alofim Shnei Revavos Chosar Achas. We have 22,000 Jews minus one, 21,999. The Zeloi Osik the Pura Rivya. And now we have one Jew that did not have children. And that child is missing child from 22,000 Jews. Lanimtza Zagorim Lashchina Shetastalik Mi Yisrael. Doesn't this person cause that the Shechina should not be in Klal Yisrael? And the Maral explains this Gemara in his Derech in a sort of a deep way. He says that the Shechina represents Nitzchis, eternity. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here forever. Klal Yisrael, if we have children, we're also connecting ourselves to Nitzchias, because children are the continuation of Klal Yisrael. So if we have children and provide for the Nitzchias, for the eternity of Klal Yisrael, then we connect ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who represents the Nitzchias. Abachanan Mishum Ebeleza says, Chayiv Misa. If somebody doesn't have children, he's chayiv misa. Shenemar, the pasuk says, "Beit aver of nodav aviu, ubonim lo yhoyu lehem, hoyu lehem bonim lemesu." Had they had children, why does the pasuk have to mention when nodav aviu did their avera that they got killed when the Mishkan was erected, that they didn't have children? What's it relevant? So says the Gemara, if they would have had children, they would have survived. And the Mefarshim explained, what's pshat, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked at these people. And as the Mefarshim go on to explain, Nodav Aviyu, we shouldn't think was some regular people, Bali Aveira. They were high, very high level. But they did something which wasn't, on their Madrega, correct. So had they had children, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have said, maybe they did an Aveira, but they need to be spared in order to be here to raise their children. But they didn't have children, that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kaviyachol, felt more comfortable in taking them away. Although I saw hard Siporna to explain, but this is what he says. He says, if they would have had children, then perhaps HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have punished the children, and they would have been spared. Achayim Aymrim, Garim L'Shechina Shetestalik Yisrael. Somebody doesn't have children, causes the Shechina Shalif Klai Yisrael. Shnemar, Liyash L'Chol Elokim, Elazaracha Achrecha. V'zman Shezracha Achrecha, when you have children, Shechina Shaira, but if we don't have children, Amishayru, who do we want to, where do we want the Shechina to be? Aleitzim v'alavonim? Says the Mishnah. Nasi Isha, if one got married, v'shoi ma'esa shonim, and they were together for 10 years, v'lo yolda, and he didn't, and they didn't have children, ein rishoy levatel. He can no longer stay with her. He should get divorced, marry another woman to have children. So it's important, we're going to learn this sugya. It's a very famous sugya about being married and not having children and requiring to get divorced. It's important to note that the Rama quotes a Rivosh as far as the halacha l'maisa bizman hazeh, that we're not makbid on this, and people may remain married even if they don't have children. But we're going to learn the Gemara with the Rishonim and Mitzvah Shem, who explain that the halacha from the Gemara, as the Gemara will give the source in a moment, is that if someone is married 10 years without children, they should get divorced. The Mefarshim, the Machloikis, Rosh and Rambam, does Beis Din force them to get divorced? The Rosh says that Beis Din even forces this couple to get divorced. The Rambam says we don't go that far. It's interesting also to note that the Rishonim discuss an interesting shaila. Why would be the halacha if they Baruch Shem have children, but they only have boys or they only have girls? And we learn that we pass them like Beis Hillel, that to be mekayim the mitzvah per rivya, you have to have a boy and a girl. So the Rishonim, all say that if they have already two boys or two girls, even though that isn't the mitzvah, as we learned the sugya, we certainly don't require them to get divorced. Because apparently they explain there are two parts to the mitzvah. One part of the mitzvah is to be mekayim the mitzvah puruvu, and another part of the mitzvah is l'shevus yitzar, as we discussed, to populate the world. As soon as they have children, even if they're the same gender, they've already occupied the world, they populated the world, and therefore there's no requirement for divorce. What will be the halacha if they only have one child? So there we already find the machlokes rishonim. Some Rishonim suggest that then a divorce, according to the Mishnah and the Gemara, is in order. And others say, even if they only had one child, there's no requirement to get divorced. Girsha. So this couple are married so many years, and they don't have children, so they get divorced. So may she marry another man? Mataris l'nas l'achar. She can marry another man. V'shoya sheni l'shoys imor yutshonim. And now the second husband is with her for 10 years to see, hopefully, that they'll have children. There's an interesting story from the Chazon Ish. I saw there was a couple that were married for a number of years and didn't have children. So they wanted to be frum. So they said, the Mishnah says they have to get divorced. So they wanted to get divorced before 10 years. So he says, the Chazon Ish says, that's not what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says you have to wait at least 10 years. Vimipila, if she miscarries, moinim shoshi pila. We count from the moment of the miscarriage. We don't count from the moment of the marriage. We only start counting the 10 years from the miscarriage. I saw the Rishonim also discuss a shaila. Let's say they had a child, and the child died. From when do you start counting? Do you start counting from when the child was born? Do you start counting from when the child passed away? I saw it's machlokes Rishonim, and some Rishonim want to make a nafgamina how many children there were to decide when we start counting. Starts the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, Nasi Isha, V'shoima Isashanim. If they were married for 10 years, V'lo Yolda, they didn't have children. Yod Tzviyitin Ksuba. He has to pay the Ksuba. Shema, Nozokhli Baran Smemenu. Because as we know, a couple gets divorced. Normally the husband has to pay the wife a Ksuba. But here, the Gemara is suggesting that maybe the husband should say, I don't owe you the Ksuba, because it's your fault that we didn't have children. Says the Gemara, and the Gemara will explain this a little more in Amud Beis, he cannot say that, and he has to pay the Ksuba. It may be his fault. Says the Gemara, even though we don't have a clear raya from the Torah, proof from the Torah, about this 10-year limit, zeich l'davar. There is some sort of a zeicher in the Torah. Because the Pasuk says, regarding Avram Avinu, miketz es ashonim l'sheves Avram b'Eretz Kanan. After Avram Avinu was in Eretz Kanan 10 years, then, and he didn't have children, then he married Hagar. Why did he wait till he got to Eretz Kanan? He was married to Sarah many years before. Because the years, so we see that 10 years is what counts. So the first man asked, why is it only a zeichel davar? Isn't it a pretty good proof that he waited 10 years and then he took another wife? So Mefarshim say Avram Avinu, as the Gemara will soon show us, was an ocher, was a person that couldn't have children. In a case where the husband clearly knows that it's his fault that they can't have children, the dinim of our Gemara do not apply. Another pshat is, since Avram Avinu isn't really considered a Ben Yisrael, because there was no Torah yet, he didn't really have the mitzvah puruvu. So he can't bring a clear proof from Avram Avinu. Says the Gemara furthermore, l'lamet chosh en yeshivas chutz laretz oylem in a minyan. The years in chutz laretz, the 10 years in chutz laretz don't count. And this is the subject, again, of a very significant machlokes rishonim. Some rishonim, Dor Zeruah, says that our Gemara is teaching us that even though our Mishnah taught us a din of 10 years, the 10 years only apply in Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because we know that Eretz Yisrael has a higher level of Ashra Shechina, and if somebody lived in Eretz Yisrael and still didn't have children, then that's a bad sign. In Chutz Laretz, we don't have the Shechina anyway, that's why it doesn't count. That's how some Rishonim learned. The Rosh takes very great exception. He says, was our Mishnah written for only for Jews in Eretz Yisrael? The Mishnah says 10 years and doesn't make that distinction. So he says that this halacha applies to everybody. He just says, so what's the Gemara saying, Chutz Laretz? So he says, if a person intends to live in Eretz Yisrael, or, he says, if a person moves to Eretz Yisrael and he didn't have children, the 10-year count starts from new. Now, let's say a couple was married for 5 years, and then they move to Israel, so they don't wait 5 more years, they wait 10 more years, because Eretz Yisrael is a whole new count. Or they explain, Avram Avinu started out his life in Eretz Yisrael. A person like Avram Avinu who lived in Eretz Yisrael, so for him, the count is only in Eretz Yisrael. But if you have a couple that never lived in Israel, so the din is the same, and they have 10 years. Lefikach, cholahu or shecholsehi, if he's ill or she's ill, or shneim chavushim beis asurim, or they're both in prison, ein oyin leim in a minyan, those years don't count. And here too, the Rosh says a very interesting pshat. He says the Gemara cannot be discussing a case that they couldn't have relations. Obviously, if he was sick or she was sick and they couldn't have relations, they can't get pregnant. But the Gemara is saying is that he was sick, but not to the degree that they couldn't be together, or vice versa, she was sick. Or they were in prison, but they were in prison together. So even though they had relations during those years, but because they were under stressful circumstances, he's sick, she's sick, they're in prison, so those years, even though they had relations, don't count towards the 10 years.
So
They start counting only when they're both Baruch Hashem fine. Amalei Rav Rav Nachman, V'leilof Miyitzchak. Why are we learning from Avram? Why are we learning from Yitzchak? The Ksiv, the Pasuk says, V'hi Yitzchak ben Abraham Shona, the Kachdus Rivka. Yitzchak was 40 years old when he gets married to Rivka. The Ksiv, and the Pasuk says, V'yitzchak ben Shishim Shonam, B'ledesoy Shom. He's 60 years old when he starts davening. So we see it's 20 years, not 10 years. So Tosfos asks, and we discussed this concept already in the Shurim 2 days ago. Tosfos asks, how can we ask from Yitzchak and Rivka? Rivka, Rashi says in Chumash, was 3 years old when they got married. So they had to wait 10 years till she becomes a gedola. So what's the proof? What's the kasha from Yitzchak? So Tosfos says, our Gemara is going according to the Medrash, that Rivka wasn't 3 years old when she got married, she was 14 years old when she got married. Or, in those days, even Ketanois were able to get pregnant and have children. Amalei, Yitzchak Akar Hayu. You can't ask a question from Yitzchak because Yitzchak was an individual who cannot have children. And therefore, we don't bring a proof from him. Ask the Gemara, Yach Avram Nami Akahayo. If we're going to say that we can't bring a proof from a person who's physically unable to have children, so why do you bring me proof from Avram? He also couldn't have children. Answers the Gemara a different teretz. Hahu Mibroi Leil Chavchi Bar Abba. The Pasuk by Yitzchak is not here to teach us how many years one should wait until he has until he starts davening. Here the Pasuk is teaching us a different halacha altogether. It's come to teach us how old, to understand how old Yaakov Avinu was. Why does the Torah mention the years how old Yishmael was? Yishmael was a Rasha. And even if we learn, say the Mepharshim, that it was about Tshuva, why does the Torah have to tell us how old he was? All these years that are mentioned are only to be able to figure out how old Yaakov is. As the Gemara teaches us, Masechta Megillah, we learned the Gemara together, it teaches us that we make a calculation of Yaakov's life, we find 14 missing years. Where are those 14 years? Those are the 14 years that when he left the home of his father and mother, Yitzchak Rivka, for 14 years he was in the yeshiva Shein Ve'Ever. So even though, as the Gemara says there, he was punished for all the years that he was not Mekayim, the mitzvah of Kibbutz Avim, when he was not in his parents' home, for those 14 years he wasn't punished, because he was learning. So the pasuk by Yitzchak is here to teach us how old Yaakov was. So the pasuk by Avram is here to teach us how many years one should wait? 10 years. Yitzchak Avinu was a person who couldn't have children. Shenema v'yeta Yitzchak l'Hashem l'noichach ishtoi. He davened facing his wife. Says the Gemara, ishtoi lo'inem. It doesn't just say that he davened on behalf of his wife. L'noichach, facing his wife. Melamed sheshneim akurim hayu. They both could not have children, and they both needed the tefillah that a Kadosh Baruch Hu should help them. Ask the Gemara, Ihoche v'yeseloi. So why did the pasuk say that Kadosh Baruch Hu listened to his tefillah, v'yeselohem miboilei? They both needed a Yeshua, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu gave them both a Yeshua. Why does the pasuk only speak to Yitzchak? Says the Gemara, v'fish einen doim tefillah tzadik ben tzadik, v'tefillah tzadik ben rasha. Yitzchak was the son of a tzadik. That's why his tefillah was more potent than the tefillah of Rivka, who was the daughter of Rishon. And the Mefarshim attempt to explain what does that mean. So the Pashto Pshat is that a tzaddik has schus avos, so that helps his tefillah be accepted. A Rasha doesn't have the schus avos. The Ben Yehoyada says a different pshat. Interesting pshat. We just finished learning, he says, the sugya of bnei banim harem kabanim. Their grandchildren are considered like children. So if somebody, Rechman Slan, doesn't have children, and he needs a nest that a Kadosh Baruch Hu should help him, and when a Kadosh Baruch Hu listens and looks at his situation, so he says, I'm not only doing this person who's a tzaddik a favor, I'm helping him, I'm helping his father, who's also a tzaddik. It's a person I want to be helpful to. But if it's a person that's tzaddik ben Rasha, a Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I maybe want to help this person, but I don't want to help his father. His father's a Rasha. That's why the tzaddik ben tzaddik has more power than the tzaddik ben Rasha. However, says the Mashal, interesting Mashal, that this Gemara that says that a tzaddik ben tzaddik is more powerful tefillah than a tzaddik ben Rasha, that's when only when an individual is davening on his own behalf. But when it comes to take about tefillah, there the Mashal says about tefillah for the tzibur is better at tzaddik ben Rasha, because he's about tshuva. Uvemakim shabal et tshuva oimdim ein tzaddikim gemurim yichayim lamayim. But an individual, as we just said, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking at his individual situation, and he looks at the entire family. Another pshat that I saw is that a tzaddik ben tzaddik may have more of a challenge than a tzaddik ben Rasha. Interesting pshat. Somebody who's about tshuva, he came to the recognition, what is the right path? Somebody who comes from a tzaddik ben tzaddik, so he davens because from the day he was born, his parents taught him to daven. And he learns because when he was a little child, they sent him to yeshiva. The tzaddik ben tzaddik the Gemara is referring to here is a person who, even though he comes from a family of tzaddikim, didn't just rely on what he saw, on the habit that he had from when he was young. On his own, he came to be an Oved Hashem. And that's a very high madrega. There's an interesting vart from the Kotzker. The Kotzker says, pshat in this Gemara, that Yitzchak and Rivka, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu listened to the tefillah of Yitzchak and not to Rivka, he says a fascinating pshat. He says, Yitzchak and Rivka were both Nevi'im, and they both knew that they're going to have two children, one a tzaddik and one a rasha. But they had a debate. Yitzchak said that the tzaddik should be a tzaddik gomer, a complete tzaddik, and the rasha should be a rasha gomer, a complete rasha. Rivka wanted not such extremes. So he said that the tzaddik should be a tzaddik, but he shouldn't be perfect. Her kavana, her intent was that the Rasha shouldn't be such a big Rasha. What happened? For yes, Eloi, Yitzchak won the debate. And Yaakov was a tzaddik gomer, and Esav was a Rasha gomer. Says the Gemara. Amar Yitzchak, v'mnei ma hoya avosenu akurim. Why were our forefathers akurim? V'nei shakadosh baruch hu mis'aveh l'tfalosim shal tzaddikim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the tefillah of tzaddikim. So Mefarshim say, why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu so interested in those tefillah? So I saw a number of pshatim. One pshat is that, as we're going to learn in a moment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu prefers to run the world with midas harachmim. The tefillah of a tzaddik has that ability to bring out the Midas HaRachmim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waiting for those tefillas. Another pshat that I saw is that when we daven, our tefillas probably could be a little better. The tefillah of a tzaddik is gevaldik. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what does he do? He requires the tzaddikim to daven. Once they daven, and their davening is like it's supposed to be, so our tefillas, which maybe aren't so perfect, get schlepped along with those tefillas. Mefarshim explained, this is what we say every day, three times a day. Ritzoyin Yireyev Yasa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does the Ritzoyin of his Yireyev. So the question is, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu does the Ritzoyin of his Yireyev, so why do they have to daven? HaKadosh Baruch Hu likes to hear the tefillah. So that's why even though he's prepared to do what they want, he waits till HaShiyah. What are the tefillahs of tzaddikim compared to a pitchfork? A pitchfork moves the hay from one place to the other place. So too the tefillah of tzaddikim has the ability of mahapeches vidoyshes HaKadosh Baruch Hu to change HaKadosh Baruch Hu trait v'midas zonus l'midas rachmanus, from anger to rachmanus. Omer Rav Ami, Avram v'Sara tumtam mahayu. Avram and Sara were people that could not have, that you couldn't even tell what sex they were. Shnemer, as the pasuk says in Yirmiyahu, in Yishayo, I'm sorry, Hibitu atzor chatzavtem, look at your foundation, v'mitvas burna kartem. V'ksev, the pasuk says further, Hibitu avram avicham, look at your forefather Avram avinu, v'asor t'chayorechem, that they could not have children, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu did a nes that they did ultimately have children. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Babavua, Sara imenu ilon islandess hois. Sara imenu was an islandess. Shenemar, that he Sara akora ein lo vlad. So the question is obvious. What does it have to say ein lo vlad? If she's an akora, obviously ein lo vlad. Says the Gemara, afilu beis vlad ein lo, that she didn't even have a womb. And that's what the Mashal says. The pasuk says by Sara, that titzchak Sara bekirbo. Sara looked at her body, and she was couldn't believe how she pregnant after she recognized that she's a woman that's unable to have children. This that we say that we wait 10 years is El B'dayos HaRishonim, in the earlier generations. Shishinasei Merubas, they lived a long life. So 10 years is not that significant of a timeline. Av B'dayos HaRishonim, in our times, Shishinaseim Mi'otos, that we don't live so long, we don't have 10 years to wait. Shtei Shonim Mechza, the amount of time to wait is 2.5 years. Keneged, which is 30 months. Keneged Shloshi Burim, which is the time that a woman can get pregnant 3 times. Why? Because a woman is pregnant for 9 months, and we give her a month before each pregnancy to actually conceive. So 9 times 3 = 27, plus the 3 months is 30 months. Rabbi Amar Rav Nachman, Sholosh Shanim. We wait 3 years. Keneged Sholosh Pekidos. Just go through 3 Rosh Hashanahs. Damamar, Rosh Hashanah, Nifkadu Sara Rach V'chana. Rosh Hashanah is the day where Kadosh Baruch Hu looks at each one of us, and it's the day that Kadosh Baruch Hu could change and give us the gzeira to have children. So we give us 3 Rosh Hashanahs to go through. So I saw unbelievable vart. Normally, we know the din is, ain't simcha al nais. We can't rely on a nais. And you shouldn't even daven for a nais. Here, the Gemara is teaching us that even if a woman has been told that she is unable to get pregnant, she's unable to conceive, on Rosh Hashanah, she's allowed to daven for children, and it's not called davening for a nes, as we find that these women, Sara Rivka V'chana, the Gemara just finished explaining that Sara was a woman that was unable physically to have children, yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembered her on Rosh Hashanah and gave her children. This is a nes on Rosh Hashanah that we're allowed to daven for. Omer Rava, Les Lohanek Kalali. These rules that the Gemara just attempted to say that nowadays is 30 months or 3 years, incorrect. Because, says the Gemara, Michti, Masnisa Man Tokin, who wrote the Mishnah? Rebbe. Says the Gemara, the May David Imad Shani. Already in the times of David HaMelech, people no longer lived that long. The Ksiv, as the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Shimei Shnei Senebehem Shivim Shana. Our lives are only 70 years. So And yet Rebbe, living in those times, still said we wait 10 years. So this, what the Gemara attempted to say, that nowadays we wait 30 months or 3 years, is incorrect. Ask Tosis, this Pasuk of Yineshin Hasemem Shim Shana is a capital Tehillim, but it's not the capital that starts, it's a capital that starts, it's I think capital Tzadik, or Tzadik Aleph, Tzadik, that starts with Tefillah L'Moshe. So how's the Gemara saying that it's David? So Tosfos says it obviously has to be speaking about David, because Moshe Rabbeinu lived 120 years, he didn't live only 70 years. That's what Tosfos says. It says Tefillah L'Moshe, but David HaMelech was referring something about Moshe Rabbeinu, but he was speaking about himself. So Gemara asks, why, the Mefarshim ask, why wasn't in the time of David HaMelech that people's years started being shorter? So I saw a number of pshatim. One pshat that I saw is David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Ruma ala Shamayim Kvoidecha. The Shechina is only in Shamayim. The Pasuk says, V'atum advekim b'shem alekeichem, Chayim kulchem hayoyim. That we, how do we have chayim? How are we worthy of a long life? V'atum advekim b'shem. If we connect ourselves to Hashem. But David HaMelech says, Ruma ala Shamayim. The Shechina is on Shamayim. That's why we're not worthy of having such a long life, because we're not so connected to Hashem. Another pshat that I saw, the Ein Yaakov says, is that we know that David HaMelech really, when he was born, was supposed to be a Nephil, immediately pass away. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu took 70 years from Adam HaRishon and gave him to David, and that's how David HaMelech lived. So it would be inappropriate that David should live 70 years, that everybody else should live hundreds of years. That's why at the time of David HaMelech, people started living shorter lives. So the Gemara said, we discussed this at the beginning of the shir, that they get divorced and he has to give her a ksuba. So the way the Rishonim explained the Gemara's question now is very simple. We know there's a rule, hamotzim chaver olav haraya. If I want to collect money from you, so I have to prove that you owe it to me. So let's understand the situation. We have a couple, Nebuch getting divorced, they didn't have children. He says it's her fault, she says it's his fault. So, and she wants a ksuba if it's his fault. But he has the money, so why don't we say hamotzi mechaver olav haraya, and he should have to not have to pay. Says the Gemara, v'hai, why do we say shem lo yizoch libonis mena? Why are we suggesting that it's his fault? V'dima ihi d'lo yizachya, maybe it's her fault, and therefore she's not entitled to the ksuba. Answers the Gemara, iyu kivim d'lo mifkada per verivya. As we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem in the tomorrow's shir, only men have the obligation to do the mitzvah puravu, not women. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu Rachmanu Litzlan is giving somebody a punishment that should not have children. So to a man, it's a punishment. He's supposed to do this mitzvah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't give him the opportunity. The woman has no obligation, so it's not so much of a punishment. So when we don't know for sure whose fault it is, we assume it's his fault. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is more likely to punish him, not her. Ask the Gemara. And the way Rashi explains, the Mishnah goes back to, the Gemara is asking a question of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that if a couple didn't have children, they should get divorced after 10 years. Ask the Gemara, Eini, V'amalei Rabbanim L'Rav Abba Bazavda, Nesiv Itasavel Abani. He didn't have children from his first wife, so they told him, get married to have more children. V'amalu, and he responded to them, Izakoi, if I was worthy of having children, I would have had for my first wife. So you see that the person doesn't have to get married to another wife with the hope of getting children with the second wife. So what does our Mishnah say that he should marry a second wife? Answers the Gemara, Hosam da kamatchil rabbanan. It really, Rav Abba was giving them an excuse. Because really Rav Abba, says the Gemara, Rav Abba zavd is yakmi perkid Rav Huna. Rav Abba became sterile because he used to sit by the shurim of Rav Huna, as we had it the other day. Rav Huna's shurim were very long shurim. They didn't go out to urinate during those shurim. And the halacha is that if somebody needs to urinate and he doesn't, it causes him to become sterile. Similarly, Rav Gidli Yaakov Pakid Rav Huna, for the same reason. Rav Achelba Yaakov Pakid Rav Huna. Rav Sheshis Yaakov Pakid Rav Huna. All of them because they sat in the shir so long. And I saw the shurim shurim balacha, so they should know. He explains what happened was, they got so engrossed in the shir that they weren't paying attention, that they needed to use the bathroom. Rav Yakba Acha Achalde Simkosai. He became ill. He had this disease of because he didn't urinate. So the Gemara says they had the following remedy. They hung him up on a beam in the yeshiva Rav. And a greenish discharge left his body. That was the disease that was in his body that was preventing him from being potent, and he was able to have children. Omer of Achba Yaakov, Shitin Saba Havino. We were 60 Talmidim learning by the Shir of Rav Huna. The Kulani Akam of Pirkei Rav Huna, and we all became sterile because we didn't go to the bathroom. Levamano, except me, the kind of benafshi hachochma techi baleah. I was smart, and I didn't let myself get sick. So Mefarshim said, what is the chochma here? So some Mefarshim explained that he also became sterile, but he was aware of the remedy that our Gemara just taught us how to get that disease out of his body. But then I saw another pshat, very interesting pshat, that Ben Yoyada says. He says, it says in Pirkei Avos, who is a chochem? A chochem is royus anoilid, a person that sees what's about to happen. So he explains, what happened here was as follows. Interesting pshat. He says, Rav Huna gave a shir. There were a lot of people that came to the shir. The Talmidim wanted to hear every word Rav Huna said, so they used to come very early to sit right next to Rav Huna. And then there was a very large crowd that sat behind them. And during the shir, they couldn't leave because there were so many people sitting behind them. And that's why they sat there for the long shir, and they didn't go to the bathroom, and they became sterile. He was smart enough not to come early to the shir. He came to the shir late, so he got a seat in the back. So he didn't have a problem that if he needed to use the bathroom, he should just be able to go out and use the bathroom to prevent him from coming sterile. So it was a chacham to make sure to know which seat to sit in.
In the times in which a man can have two wives, then why should he divorce the first wife and marry a second wife?
So the Ritva discusses that shaila. Rabbi Gerelich discusses, what would be the halacha? Why did he have to get divorced? Let him take a second wife. It's a kasha the Ritva asks. So Ritva asks, answers as follows. He says, we could assume that every person wants to be married. So if we tell the man, you know what? You could stay married to your first wife and take another wife. So we'll procrastinate because he already has a wife. But if we tell him you have to divorce your wife, he's not going to want to remain single. And like that, he'll get married to a second wife. Therefore, says the Ritva, if he indeed takes a second wife, he doesn't have to divorce the first wife. Says the Gemara. Gershumateris. If they get divorced, so she can marry second husband. Shani, but she could only marry second husband. Shani in a second husband, yes. Shlishi loy, but not a third husband. Mani, misnisa mani. Who is the Tana of our Mishnah? Rebbe he. It follows the opinion of Rebbe. Because we have a very fundamental machloikis throughout Shas. How many times is a chazaka? Two times or three times? The Tanya. Mola rishin v'meis. If somebody had a child and they did a bris milah and nebuch the child died. Shani umeis. And then it happened by the second child. Shlishi loy tumel. They should not do a bris milah for the third child. Divrei Rebbe. That's Rebbe's opinion. Shimon Gamliel Omer, shlishi timel. Third child, we can do a bris milah. Revi loy timel. So we see there's a machlekes. How many times is there a chazaka? Two times or three times? Our Mishnah 2 that says that she can only marry twice represents the shita that a chazaka is after twice. Ask the Gemara, the Tanya Ipka. We have a brisa that says just the opposite, reversing the opinions of Rebbe Rav Shimon Gamliel. So ask the Gemara, Haimanayach Renesa, which brisa was said later? Because as the Rifashim explained, the later brisa obviously represents the more authoritative positions because this is what their final positions represent. Toshma, Dom Rav Chiba, Abba Amrav Yochran. Mas Abba Chois B'tzipari. There was a story of four sisters. Shemola was shown of a mace. The first sister did a bris milah on a child and he died. Shni of a mace, and then the second sister, the same story. Shlishis of a mace, the third sister, Revius of a mace. And then it happened, Revius, when it came to the fourth child, Baal of Nerib Gamliel, she came to ask a Shabar Gamliel, Omalai Altamali. Don't do bris. So we see that the chazak is only after three times. Ask the Gemara, how is that a proof? The Dilmi asks Yishlishis, If she would have come, if the third sister would have come, Nami have an Amala. He would have told her also. How do we know that the third sister, if she would have asked, wouldn't have gotten an answer, don't do a bris? Answers the Gemara, if that's the case, what's he trying to prove? If he's saying that this was the story and he's trying to prove halacha lemaisa from the story, it must be that the story is strictly after three children there's a chazaka, not after four. The Dilma Hakamashmala says the Gemara, maybe the chiddush there is that a chayshis mechaskos. Here, our Gemara is speaking about the one same woman. She gets married, doesn't have children. She gets married, she doesn't have children. So it's a very strong proof that this woman has a problem. But here we're not talking about the same mother having children. Sisters. So to say that there's a disease to that degree, that we won't say. Amarava says the Gemara, has the Amrit, Achoisius Mechaskois, now that we said that if we see that there's a pattern developing between the children of sisters, so similarly we see Laisa Adam Loy Mishpachas Nifchim for Loy Mishpachas Mitzuroim. A person should not marry into a family where we see that, let's say, three sisters each had children that are Mitzuroim, or each had three children. Nifchim means epileptic. For who does Chazik plus Zimni? But only if they had three such children is that a proof that this family has this problem. So Sora Chazanish discusses like this. Al Gemara says that if there are three sisters that have children that didn't survive the bris milah, the fourth sister should not make a bris milah. What's going to be the halacha by brothers? Well, we have the same consideration. So he says the same would be if there were three brothers that didn't have, that had children that didn't survive the bris milah, the fourth brother should not make a bris milah. But he makes a very interesting distinction between bris milah and mitzuroim and nichfin. He says, let's say there's a combination of sisters and brothers. Two sisters and one brother had children that didn't survive the bris milah. They don't combine. Three sisters combine and three brothers combine, but sisters and brothers together can't combine. He says that's regarding bris milah. But when it's regarding epileptics or mitzuroim, their brothers and sisters can combine. So if you have two brothers that are epileptic and one sister, or vice versa, they would combine and person should avoid getting married with that family. There's also the Piskei Tshuva brings down a very interesting machlokes. Al Gemara is saying that if there were children born into the family that didn't survive the bris milah, so if the next child is born, don't make a bris milah. What's going to be the halacha? What does the Gemara mean, says the Piskei Tshuva? We should never make a bris milah for this child? Or does it mean that as long as the child is an infant, we shouldn't make a bris milah? But when he becomes an adult, so we hope that he's stronger and healthier, we can make a bris milah. Neither Behuda clearly says, the Gemara only means as an infant. But when the child becomes older, we can make a bris milah. Other Achroinim disagree and said that the Gemara here means never make a bris milah. My Havela, so what is the halacha? Says the Gemara, Ki Asar of Yitzchak by Yosef, Om Uv the Havaka Mei to Rabbi Yochanan. There was a story in front of Rabbi Yochanan, the Kinishta de Moim, in the city, in the Beis Knesset of Moim, the Yoim HaKippurim Shechalias B'Shabbos, where there was a child that was born, that the bris should be on Yom Kippur that came out on Shabbos, Umala, and this was a family, that Rishoyna V'meis, the first child was born and didn't survive the bris milah, Shnia, the second child, was born V'meis, Shlishis Balafonov, and now there was a third child born. And the question was, should they make such a bris milah on Shabbos Yom Kippur? Amala, so he told them, L'chi Yomayli, you can make the bris. Amalei Abayi, so Abayi told Rabbi Yochanan, don't be so quick to allow this bris milah. Chazid, Kashat, Isura, V'sakanta. He's saying, you do two things that are questionable. Number one, it's an Isser. Because if the bris milah is not allowed to be take place, a bris milah is Chil Shabbos. It's only not Chil Shabbos or Yom Kippur if it's allowed to take place. But if this bris milah is not allowed to take place, you're doing Mechal Shabbos Yom Kippur. The Sakanta. And you're also doing a Sakana. Because the Sakana is that you're making a bris milah for a child that's not supposed to have it. Samachal Abaya. Abaya relied on what Rabbi Yitzchak said. Rabbi Yitzchak said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that only after a woman is married three times is there a problem. The Ozel Nas Belachaim Rabata the Isabray Dev Yitzk Bray Dev Yehuda. He went to marry this woman. The Nasiv that was married to Rechava the Pumbedisa, the Shachav, and he passed away. And then she was married to Rav Yitzchak Berei Rav Rava Babachana, the Shachav, the Nasiv who, and he felt that he could marry her because only two of her husbands had passed away, the Shachav. And he passed away. Omer Rava, says Rava, Omi Ik the of the Benafshkahai, is there somebody that acts this way? Ask the Gemara, for he the Omer Abin the Samcha, Yitzchak Sumcha, Lav Bas Samcha. He's the one that said that it is three times, so why is he saying that he did the wrong thing? Says the Gemara, Abin Yeshna Bechazara, Yitzchak Eina Bechazara. So what does this mean? So Rashi says two pshatim. There's a question here, what Rabbi Yochanan held. So the question is, there were two reports what Rabbi Yochanan held. One was said in the name of Yitzchak Samcha, and one was said in the name of Avin. Says the Gemara that Avin is more reliable than Rabbi Yitzchak. Why? For two reasons. The Rashi says two pshatim chazara. One is that Rabbi Yitzchak, Avin, always was in front of Rabbi Yochanan. So since he always learned by his Rebbe, if Rabbi Yochanan would regret what he said, he would know. Rabbi Yitzchak wasn't there all the time. So if he would regret, he wouldn't know. Another pshat is, important pshat, Rabbi Avin always reviewed what he's learned. So his halacha, his psak, was much more authoritative than the other man, the Amr, who didn't always review what he said. Right? Aim of the pligi. When is there machloikis, linyan mila? How many children have to pass away? Nesuin mipolik, is that any machloikis? Nesuin certainly we follow two times. So Farshim asks, why are we more machmer by Nesuin than by Mila? So Farshim gives two answers why Nesuin is different than Mila. One is, as we said before, Nesuin is the very same woman whose husband died, or very same woman that didn't have children. Mila, it's not the same child. It's just his brothers or his cousins. Another Torah says, once we have a child born, he has to have a milah. So to not make a milah, we're very reluctant. So only if there were three situations do we not make a milah. But Nesuin, she's not married, so just don't get married. And ask them, Avatanya, Nisus L'Rishu V'meis, L'Sheni L'meis, L'Shlishi Loi T'Nosei, Divrei Rebbe, Rav Shimon Gamaliel Loi M'Lashisha T'Nosei, she's allowed to marry the third one, Revi Loi T'Nosei, Bishlomo, Gaba Milah. So explains the Gemara. By Mila, I could understand why we don't do the Mila, because Ikka Mishpacha the Rafa Dama, the Ikka Mishpacha the Kama Dama. There's a Mishpacha, Rafa Dama means that are hemophiliacs. And therefore, they're not able to take the bris. Ela Nesuin Maitama, why, if a woman was married and her husband's passed away, don't we let her get remarried? Amalei Matcha Ravashi, Hacha Amma Vima Megroni Mishmei the Rav, Una, Amachloikis. One she tells because Mayim Goyrim. That she's a woman, that if her husband has relations with her, somehow she causes that the husband should die. Rav Ashi Amar, Mazel Goyrim. She can have bad mazel. She brings bad mazel to her husbands. May Benayu. What's enough Gemina? Ik Benayu, the Irsur Mes. That let's say they're only Erison. So they never had relations if they only had Erison. So if the reason is Mayim Goyrim, so the husband that she only had Erison, she didn't cause to die, because they never had relations. If the reason is Mazel, so she's the one that caused the husband to die. Inami, Nafal Diklames. Let's say he fell off a tree. If the reason is Mayan, so it has nothing to do with her Mayan. He fell off a tree. If, on the other hand, the reason is because of her bad Mazel, that is applicable no matter what reason he died. There's another Nafkamina that the Mefarshim say. What's going to be the halacha if she divorced two husbands? A very important shaila. Is she allowed to get married to a third husband? If the reason is because of Mayon, so then divorce has nothing to do with Mayon, that her having relations with her makes somebody sick. If divorce is Mazel, she obviously is bad news that all her husbands divorce her. We're machmer. It says in Shulchan Aruch that if a woman was married to two men, a third husband should not marry her. Similarly, it says in Shulchan Aruch that if a man was married to a woman two times and then two husbands, if a woman was married to two husbands and they died, she should not get married to a third husband. However, all the Paiskim say, that's only if the husbands died on unnatural death. So we have to be concerned that this woman brings that bad mazel. But let's say the husbands died because they were old men and died a natural death, that would not be considered a woman that caused her husband to die. Also, there's a shaila. What about the reverse situation? A husband was married to two women and they died. Is he allowed to marry a third wife? If the thing is because of mayon, so what's the difference? Just like her mayon could be bad, his mayon could be bad. But if it's mazel, the Rishonim say that a woman relies on her husband's mazel. And therefore she, if she has bad mazel, brings the bad mazel to the husband. Rosh says this. But a wife doesn't rely on the husband's mazel, so if the husband caused that, if his husband's wives died, he would be allowed to marry a third wife.